Hit her. Zarek.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you, choir, orchestra. Thank you for leading us in praise team singers. I don't know about you, but they just seem like they've got more energy these days. I think maybe we brought them out here where they could just get set free. Amen? Can we get amen to that? Christ has set them free, and now they're presenting that. Now, I want you to notice that two Sundays in a row I've worn a tie. I've been told that three times already, so I'll just go ahead and declare that. Today's Easter Sunday. I normally wear a tie on Easter Sunday, and particularly today I'm wearing one that has little bunnies on it. Oh, there you go. Did I tell you I have two grandchildren? This is for my granddaughters right here. I love y'all, but this is for my granddaughters right here. If you brought your Bibles, I hope you did. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 is our launch verse. I want to share with you on this Easter 2025 today. This is all for you. This is all for us. What happened in this past week and the run-up to today as we celebrate over 2,000 years ago, it was all for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 in the New American Standard Version says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I don't normally preach from the Message Bible, but Peterson had a great translation, and I thought it was appropriate for me to just read it for you today. Listen to what he says in the same verse. "May all the gifts and benefits that come from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, be yours." All the benefits and the gifts come from Jesus. Would you join me as we pray? Father, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're about to do in our midst today. Thank you for this wonderful group that are here with us today that are celebrating your resurrection. Father, I pray that as we unpack your word today, I pray, Father, that you just speak precisely to us here today. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for what you're going to do. Father, there may be one here today that is struggling in their own personal life. Maybe they're going through some difficult moments and they're trying to figure this thing out in life on this side of glory, on this side of eternity. Father, I pray that you speak to their heart today, precisely remove any barriers that they might have that they might hear you speak precisely to their lives. Father, it'd be so tragic that we come one way and we leave the same way. Father, I pray that we all leave this place differently with a new sense of purpose and direction for our lives. And Father, maybe there's one here today, either viewing us by our live stream or here in the building, that doesn't know you and the free pardon of sin. Father, I pray today that their light, their eyes are open and they see the light of the resurrected Savior. And Father, I pray that you reach down and save those that need to be saved. Rekindle the fire. And those that are maybe saved but wayward right now, and we give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Today I'm going to move from what I spoke about briefly on Friday night for the Good Friday service. By the way, Good Friday is only good because of what Jesus did for us. That's why we call it Good Friday. Good Friday, you say, how could it be good? Because he died on that day, and we acknowledge that, but it's good because Jesus actually died for us, and there are benefits from the resurrection, or benefits from the crucifixion. I want to quickly remind us of those benefits of the crucifixion. First of all, is there's total forgiveness of everything that I've ever ever done wrong. Everything that I've ever done wrong, there is a benefit because of Jesus taking the sins of the world on Calvary's cross. That means the sins are for me and for you. Even if there was no such thing as heaven, and of course there is, if there's no such thing, it would be worth receiving this benefit so you can go through life with a clear conscience and not carrying guilt or shame or regret or remorse in your life. So if there was none other benefit that we had have all those things canceled out, it would be worth the crucifixion for that. God does not want you or I to go through life feeling guilty. He doesn't want us to walk around with resentment in our life. He doesn't want us to walk around with remorse or regret or shame. One of the things that Jesus Christ came to do is to provide total forgiveness for everything that we've ever done wrong. Colossians chapter 2 verse 14, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, one of my favorite verses of scripture, this says these words, in Christ we are set free by the blood of his death, so that we have forgiveness of sins because of God's rich grace. He also wrote to the church at Rome these words in chapter 4, verse 25. He says, Jesus was given to die for our sins, that he was raised, and he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. So the first benefit that I believe that we can have, and there's many benefits from the crucifixion, but the first is and foremost is that total forgiveness for everything that I've done wrong. The second one would be this, the deep healing power that we have in Jesus' life. The deep healing power that we can receive. Now friends, listen to me. And I don't know anybody that doesn't need to realize that there's available to them healing from Jesus Christ. Many of us need healing physically. We know that. We see you walk. You see me walk. We got aching, arthritic areas in our lives. That maybe you've got a foot or an ankle or something, an arm. My good friend Earl's got a rotator cuff issue. Can't play golf for a while. And I mean, we see that. That needs to be healed, right? But far often, there's a lot of people that we don't see the healing that needs to take place. It's that emotional healing, the mental healing. Some of you are sitting there thinking, yes, Dan, we need Jesus to heal your mental capabilities. Right, I know they say that. Don't say it out loud, I'll hurt my feelings. But some of you need some healing in your mental capabilities or a relationship healing. Or some of you may be going through some financial stress. You need financial healing or stressful. Or your marriage needs healing. Or an addiction needs to be healed as well. Jesus gives this benefit. Once that we totally accept him as our Savior and Lord, we can call upon that for those healings. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, Jesus personally took our sins in his body on the cross so that we could die to the grips of sin in our lives and be free from to live the right way. You are healed by his wounds. Isaiah said it so beautifully, and we read this verse often at this time of year. Verse 53, chapter 53, verse 5. But he was pierced through our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. Matthew says it best these ways. Jesus went through the towns and the villages, teaching in the Jewish synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Oh, my dear friends, one final verse, Luke chapter 5. The power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. So the first benefit is total forgiveness. The second benefit is the deep healing power. And thirdly, as in my opening remarks today, is the power to break free from the controlling issues or controlling forces, that I might say, that we face every day. I want you to understand how important in your life, that you get the power to break free from the controlling forces. The truth is, we don't realize how much we let ourselves be controlled by other things, or quite honestly, other people. We have all kinds of things that control us, right? We let our moods control us. We let our moods control us in such a way that things become like you feel like you're doing it or you don't feel like you're doing it. We are manipulated, so to speak, by our moods. You are controlled by your moods. Your moods are always right. They're not always right. Sometimes they are, but most of the time they're not. You can get a mood from a bad burrito, as I said Friday night. You get a bad burrito in you, you're going to have some bad moods. Amen. Wake up, people. That was supposed to be funny. Moods are not, well, I just feel what I feel. We let the media control us, right? We let approval of others to control us. You do this all the time, like the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you, what you say, what you wear, how you smell. All these things dictate our moods sometimes. Some of you are trying to get approval from people that have been, that from 20 years ago are trying to force you to be a certain way. Some of your moods are controlled by your past. Gathering here close, don't miss this. Listen to me, your past is the past. There's absolutely nothing that you can do about your past except don't repeat some of the things that are bad. It can control you. Your past is your past. You can learn from the past, but we can't live in the past. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Collectively, churches do that. Churches collectively, as the body of Christ, say, oh, we want to go back to the way it was. We want to do it the way we used to do it back in the 70s. And sometimes I think some of the stuff we did in the 70s were right, or the 80s or the 90s or even the early 2000s. But dear friends, let me tell you something. The past is the past. If we're going to move forward as the kingdom of God, we've got to look forward. We got to look forward and let go of our past. Some of you are controlled by your fears. The great Christian motivational speaker Zig Ziglar said these words. The word fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. Sometimes we are controlled by the false evidence that appear real in our lives. Dear friends, none other than Satan himself is the one who's putting the fears in our lives. We let our memories control us. Bad memories or good memories control us one way or the other. We let the culture control us. And here's the big one. We sometimes let money, cash, numero uno dollars control us. I've seen people, I've watched families over the years be manipulated and controlled and let their family be crushed by letting money to control them. They're making decisions based on what is the most profitability rather than what's right for their family. Oh, gathering here close, Romans chapter 6 says, our old sinful selves are nailed to the cross with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. No longer slaves to sin. When we died with Christ, we were set free from the bondage of sin. Also share in this new life. We are sure of this because Christ rose from the dead and he will never ever die again. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. And yet not that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Oh, dear friends, the benefits of the crucifixion was total forgiveness, deep healing power from God. And thirdly, the power to break free from those controlling forces that drive us away from him. So, with that said, this Resurrection Sunday, I want to give you three things that we know for certain are benefits of the resurrection. First one is this. Jesus has a great purpose for my life. Jesus has a great purpose for my life. Now, one of the most important things that you and I ever learn in life is to know what our purpose is. If you don't ever figure out what your purpose in life is, you're going to waste time. You're going to waste your life. Now, gathering here close, don't miss this. Sometimes we confuse purpose with success. Dear friends, purpose is not success. You can be incredibly successful, and still not know your purpose. You can be incredibly rich. You can have lots of money, be successful in making money, and still not know your purpose. You can be incredibly famous, or you can be incredibly talented, and still not know your purpose. You can be incredibly gifted and productive, and still miss God's purpose for your life. I was talking to some mid-level managers in one of the companies I serve as chaplain in Birmingham recently, and I was talking to him. We were just having a coffee at the in the cafe there at the business at the office, and we were just talking. And this guy said, "Can I speak to you privately for a minute?" And I said, "Absolutely. That's what I'm here for." He said to me, "He said, Pastor, you know, my life has a great cast of people around it, but I just don't know the plot." He said, "I got a great cast of people around me. I just don't know this. I don't know the plot. I don't know the story." I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. Maybe at the sound of my voice here in this room, you feel the same way. Another guy said to me this, "You know, somebody said, I hope my life isn't a joke because I just don't get it." Again, that was a joke you should have laughed at. You missed that one yet again. You'll get it at lunch sometime today, maybe. Sometimes we feel like our life's a joke, but we don't get the joke line. We don't get the punchline. Now, when it comes to knowing your life purpose, I think there are three or four ways that we can understand that. First of way that we miss knowing it, number one is we speculate on our life purpose. You could go to a university, KSU or any other university, and enroll in that university and take philosophy classes, or you can take philosophy classes and you can learn all the answers to who am I, and they'll discuss why am I here, what's my purpose, and does my life have meaning, is there significance in my life, where am I headed in my life, why am I here? You can speculate on those, but let me tell you something. It just doesn't work by speculating on that. You can't guess your way through it. Secondly, we can imagine it. We can have this great imagination, and we can imagine what my life is supposed to be like, what my purpose is supposed to be like. There are probably tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of self-help books that you can go buy them online, or you can go to the bookstores and buy them that will teach you this. They say, don't confuse success with purpose. We should never confuse success with purpose. Set your goals. Have your dreams. Clarify your values. Know your vision. All of that's good stuff. We should know some of that stuff. But it is not your purpose. You can talk about success in your life, but we never should confuse that with purpose. There's another way is introspect. This is one I like. Introspect, meaning we're internally looking inside our own lives. What I mean by that is looking within. We hear this a lot in the Eastern philosophies, in Eastern religions. Sometimes we see it in the movie and we say, well, you should just look at the forces of Luke. Luke Skywalker, he'll dig deep inside your life. That will not work. It will not point you in the right direction. You can tell yourself what your purpose is because you can't tell yourself what your purpose is because you did not create you. You can tell yourself what your purpose is, but you need to find out. And the only way you do that is to know who invented you. You could tell yourself by invention, and you could tell yourself by looking at the owner's manual. Gather in here close, don't miss this. The only way that you're ever going to know your purpose in life is to talk to the creator, and read the owner's manual. Now, the truth of the matter is that you are not here by accident. Yes, there are accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. There are illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate children. Your parents did not plan you. God planned you and has a plan for you and a purpose for you. God is more interested in creating you and shaping you than he is their parenting skills. If you're a parent in the room, say amen. He is more interested in us finding what he wants us to do in life. God's plan and purpose is bigger and greater than the parents' plan and purpose they have for you. Parents gathering here close, let your kids find their purpose on their own. Point them to Jesus. Point them to the Word of God. And the Word of God will point them in the direct, correct way. I really want parents to stop living vicariously through their kids. I tried desperately. Deb and I said, you know what? I'm not going to live vicariously through my son. I want him to find the plan and purpose for his life. Some of you say, Dan, what does this have to do with Easter? Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And he died for all so that who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Until you and I wrap our hearts around this and realize this understanding, this truth, that Christ has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. You, when you get to know Jesus, you're not going to know his purpose until you surrender to his lordship. He is the one, when he rose from the dead, he split the earth in two. Oh, my dear friends, listen to this verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. And also we have obtained an inheritance. We have been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be the praise of his glory. The three things I want to talk to you about this morning is Jesus has a great purpose for our lives. Secondly, it's this. What does it have to do with Easter? Jesus has a great power for my problems. Now, dear friends, he has a great power. Easter demonstrated the power of Jesus. Easter demonstrated the power of Easter. There's not much greater power than raising yourself from the dead. How many of y'all did that? Not one of us have done that, right? We needed somebody to raise us from the dead. And it is the most powerful event in history recorded. Here's the coolest thing about the power. It's available for us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead a couple of millennia ago is available to us right here in this room today. The same power. Here's a benefit that maybe you and I didn't even realize, but here's what the Word says. Not my Word, but the Word of God says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and following. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great God's power really is to help those who believe in him. Those who believe in him, we have this same power. It is the same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. Not my words, the Word of God. That's not some Eastern philosophy or some self-help or prosperity preacher. Dear friends, that's what the Word of God says. We have the same power. The resurrection comes with a great promise. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians again. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead. He will also, say it with me, raise us. He will raise us. Oh, now we're talking. Now we're cooking with gas. Amen. We're cooking with gas now. The only reason you're going to be raised from the dead and have life after death is because Jesus can do it. That is the reason. It's Jesus that doesn't raise you from the dead. You are never, ever, ever going to get raised from the dead. You say, wait a minute, Dan, I'm alive here today. Really? Are you? Are you really alive? Let me ask you a question. This is kind of personal, but let me ask you this question. What is dying in your life right now? What is dead in your life right now? What needs the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit today in your life? Let me just ask a few more questions. What do you need resurrecting in 2025 today? Where do you need God's resurrection? The truth is, and I'm sorry to say this, but some of your marriages are dying. Some of your marriages are really actually dead and you're just living in the same house together. The key to a long, successful, purpose-driven marriage. Debbie and I have been married, Lord willing, May 10th, we will have celebrate 45 years. Some of you are saying, that's a long time. Some of you are saying, man, that's just nothing. Give me about 25 more years, right? The thing that I have learned, and Deb and I have learned, and the key of successful marriage is that we have learned to fall in love over and over and over and over and over again. 45 years. Lord willing, he doesn't come back, or both of, or one of us die. 45 years, May 10th. Say, that's a long time. Well, it's a great saying from Alabama. The older the violin, the sweeter the music. Amen? Those of you country people, you'll understand that. I know you city people over here in Marietta have a hard time with some of that stuff. To be quite honest with you, the key to a successful marriage, the key is that you fall in love over and over and over again. You didn't fall in love just one time. My dad used to tickle me a lot of times. He would look over me and I'd say, Dad, Pop, I love you. And he'd just say, okay, thank you. I say, Dad, don't you want to say that back? He said, I told you when you were born that I loved you and I haven't changed my mind. I said, Dad, I need for you to reassure me that you still love me, right? We need to fall in love over and over and over. Some of us need a resurrection in our careers. Maybe you're saying, man, I thought I'd be a whole lot further along in my career than I am. The stage in life is not going as well as I thought it should. Maybe you just need the resurrection power of Jesus in your career. Some of you need the resurrection power in your energy. Maybe you say, man, I'm so tired. I'm tired all the time. I drag through the day. I'm fatigued all the time. It's because you're living in your power instead of the power of God. Maybe you say, I can't find the next charging station, you know, that only goes 300 miles from my electric battery. I just can't go. I need a new charging station. Oh, gathering here close, don't miss this. God never intended for you and I to go through life in our own power. He has given us the power of the resurrection in our lives to sustain us for the long distance journey. Why do we have so many divorces? It's because we fall out of love quicker than we fell in it. Oh, my dear friends, we need the power to overcome that. We need the supernatural loving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Easter resurrection day, Jesus is saying these words, the power that I raised myself from back to life with today is available for you to plug into that. Surrender to that. You see, the difference between human beings and God is God and we're not. Simple fact, right? Human beings can be resuscitated, but only God can resurrect. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, resuscitation is that you may die, lose consciousness and die, and we can get some paddles with some battery-powered thing and zap you and bring you back after a minute or two. We can bring you back to life if the Lord wants you to come back to life. We can resuscitate you. We can bring you back. You don't need resuscitation. Some of you need the resurrection power of God. He says, I have the kind of power not to resuscitate your power, but I have the resurrection power in your life where you are dying. I can give you life. You see, some of you are on the edge of giving up right now, gathering here close to your friends. God brought you this Easter Sunday at Roswell Street for this message today. You say, well, I'm coming because I'm going to get ham and potato salad at lunch with Meemaw. That's great. But let me tell you something. God brought you in this room to sit you in this room to hear these words today. Not my words, but his words being proclaimed today that he has the power to heal you. He has the power to resurrect you. He has the power to give you life and purpose in life. God brought you here today. Don't give up. Look up. Don't give up. Look up. The answer is not guilt. Quit. The answer is not quit on life. The answer is to get connected to life. Find God's purpose and get the power in your life. Notice what Paul said to the second Corinthian letter to the Corinthian church. He says, we are really crushed and overwhelmed. We are feared we never will live through it. So we saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good. For then we put everything in the hands of God, who alone can save us. For he can even raise the dead. And God did help us, and he saved us. And we expect him to do it again and again. Oh, there's a promise to this, friend. We can get the power of the resurrection in our life. But notice this verse of scripture. Here's a promise. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. God gives power to those who are tired and worn out. And he offers strength to the weak. He gives power to those that are tired and worn out. Some of you are saying, Pastor, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you say, Dan, you don't know what I'm going through right now. You're exactly right. I do not know what you're going on through in your life. But God does. God knows exactly what's going on in your life. Listen to this verse, very short, so powerful. What is impossible with men is possible with God. That's not some help, happiness, and prosperity teaching. That is the word of God. What looks like a dead end, what looks like death, is prime time for him to enact the resurrection power. What you think you might be able to do 5-10 years from now, he can do it in 5 seconds. He can change the course of your life within seconds. I have witnessed this several times in my journey, out sharing the gospel, presenting the plan of salvation, witnessing to the impossible and someone who has never been exposed to the gospel. And then once they hear the gospel and the power of Holy Spirit moves in, they experience the possible when they were living in the impossible. Oh, here's the promise. Don't miss this. 2 Peter said these words, grace and peace be given to you more and more because you truly know God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus has the power of God by which he has given us everything we need to live, to serve God. We have these things because we know him. Jesus called us by his glory and goodness. Oh, my dear friends, that'll preach right there. That's exciting. You may be saying right now, Dan, I don't have all I need. No, you don't. But God knows exactly what you need, not what you want. He knows that you're going to ask for things that you don't need. We are human, right? So 3 things that I know for certain: that Jesus has a great purpose for my life, and Jesus has a great power for my problems. And thirdly, and I start to wrap up, so hang on. Jesus has a great place for me after I die. He has a great place for me. What I've learned from the resurrection of Christ is that there's more to life than the here and now. Aren't you glad? As beautiful in the places that we live, aren't you glad we have a place that's even greater to spend eternity in? You were made to last forever, not on this side of glory. Not on this side of eternity. You were made to last forever. And I can prove that because there is life after death because Jesus did it. I think more that Jesus knows more about the afterlife than you and I will ever learn about that. John chapter 11 verse 25 says, Jesus says, I am the one who raised the dead and gives them life again. Anyone who believes in me. Gathering here close, when that says anyone, for where I'm from in East Jefferson County, that means anybody. Anyone who believes in me, though he die, he will live again. For believing in me, he shall never die. How do I know he's telling the truth? Because he did it. He did it. Nobody else has done that. He's the one who attested miracles of that day and the happening of the resurrection of Christ, spent 40 days on planet Earth. He did it by speaking with his friends. And he didn't just say, hey, I'm out of here. I'm raised from the dead. I'm going to heaven. See y'all soon. No, he spent 40 days hanging out with people, teaching, loving people, having meals with people, training people. And many, many eyewitnesses account took place of that. It is attested that truly happened. that day. You're never going to find ultimate hope, dear friends, in anything that you can lose. If you can lose it, it's not much hope in it, is it? If you want to have hope that gets you through the toughest of times, you must put your trust and your hope in the person that can give you the hope and the trust eternally. What I'm saying here on this Easter is that hope is not a principle. Hope is not a product. Hope is not a program. Hope is not a pill. Hope is a person. And there is only one person that can put that hope in us, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the hope of the world. As Paul wrote to Colossians letter, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me wrap up here. I want you to notice this verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, Praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, now we hope for the blessings God has for his children. These blessings which cannot be destroyed or be spoiled or lose their beauty are kept in heaven for you. God's powerful protection for you through faith until salvation is shown to you at the end. Oh, my dear friends, we have hope because of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Only we have to do is trust in him. We don't have to trust in him to protect our salvation because he's going to protect our salvation. That's his job. We don't have to protect our own salvation. We have Jesus to protect our salvation. God, I'm going to give you my whole life. I'm a mess. I'm going to give you my whole life is what you need to say. You say, well, wait a minute. Maybe I need to clean up before I come to Jesus. Oh no, dear friends, take your grimy, filthy life to him just like I did and many others in this room and say, Jesus, I come to you and watch him do the cleaning. Watch him give you the gift of eternal life. The Bible tells us because of the resurrection that we have hope because there is more to the story than just the here and now. We have hope because God protects our salvation and keeps us. We have hope because we cannot ever, ever lose it. Scripture is crystal clear. It says he cannot be plucked out of the hand of God. Dear friends, gather in here close. Once you're saved, you can never be lost. If you're truly born again, you will be born again for all of eternity. If you could lose your salvation, that means you could earn your salvation. And the Bible says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the free gift of God that any man should boast. It is a gift that God gives us. We transfer our life into him. There's no life without loss. All of us have gone through periods in our life where we've lost a loved one, correct? That's part of the natural progression of life on this side of glory. It's a natural progression. There's no life without loss. There's no loss without pain. There's no pain without grief. There's no going through life in this life without going through some of that. Listen to me very carefully. The way you live with hope in the middle of pain is to enlarge your perspective. Understand what you have available for you here today. Change your focus on your plight of your situation and put your eyes glued upon Jesus. Or as the writer in Hebrews says, a gaze upon Jesus. See, author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When I walked up and did the welcome today, I said one thing I say at every Easter: the tomb is empty and the throne is occupied. Dear friends, we have a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. He's here today to change your direction of your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, so we do not look at what we cannot see right now, the troubles all around us, for we look forward to the joys in heaven which we have not seen. The troubles will soon be over. The joys will come to us, will last forever. Oh, you might live to be 100 years old. You may be 300 years old still getting your Social Security check. I heard about that the other day. How ridiculous is that? Maybe you're here today and you say, I'm getting close to 100. That's great. Hallelujah. Oh, my dear friends, nothing, nothing compares to the trillions upon trillions of years that you're going to spend eternity. The question is, where are you going to spend it? The question is, on this Easter Sunday, do you have the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Do you know for certain if you died today, you would spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, my dear friends, He went to the cross for your sins, and He came out of the grave so that we might have eternal life, that we serve a risen Savior, and He's in the world today. The Word of God gives us so much hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground, dear friends, is seeking sand. No eye has ever seen. No ear has ever heard. No mind has ever imagined the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Know for certain these three things. Jesus has a great purpose for each and every one of us. Know for certain that Jesus has a great power for us to overcome our problems every day. And know for certain that Jesus has a great place for when I leave this earth. I'm closing. What's the benefits? How do I get these benefits? How do I receive these amazing benefits? Let me just give you one verse of scripture. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess, believe, and receive. It's that simple. It's that simple. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. The question begs today, will you believe and will you receive? If you believe and confess, you will receive. That's the benefit of the crucifixion. That's the benefit of the resurrection. The question is, will you receive? Let's pray. Ron's coming to lead us in a great hymn of the faith. Maybe you're in this room today and you say, Pastor, I finally get it. I truly understand what you're talking about here. Maybe you're in this room today and for the first time, your light switched on. Maybe you've heard it time and time and time again, but today, the resurrection power of Jesus entered into your life and revealed your need for salvation. I say this often. The people that are regulars here at Roswell Street hear me say this. He never calls a silent disciple. He always calls us publicly to pronounce what He's done privately in our lives. Maybe you're in this room right now and you say, Dan, I want to transfer my life into His life. I want to receive Him as my personal Savior, Lord. You just got to confess. You just got to believe. And you got to receive. You simply do that by talking to Him. You simply do that just by saying something like this. If you want to do that, just right here on our live stream or here in the building, maybe right here in this room, you say these words, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm looking for everything else, but today I want what You have for me. Today I want to receive You as my personal Savior and Lord. Today I want to find life's purpose. I need the power to overcome the problems that I face every day. I want to receive You right now. And I want to know that you've etched a place in heaven for me. Should I draw my last breath, then I'll know I will spend eternity in heaven with you. I confess my sins. I believe you're raised from the dead. And I receive you now as my personal Savior and Lord. If you've prayed that prayer in this room, in just a second, I'm going to say a quick ending to this prayer. We're going to stand. Pastor Ron's going to lead us in a great hymn of the faith called I Surrender All. We have pastors that will be here at the front. We have encouragers that will be standing to the sides to pray with you. If God has spoken to your heart in this room, do not leave this room. We're not asking you to join Roswell Street unless you want to. We're asking you to confess what God has done in your life in this room today, and let's pray with you and help you get on the right path. So when we stand, you come. Father God, we ask you right now to do your work in this place. Break those barriers down. Let those that have made these decisions to come forth and just have prayer with someone that will encourage them. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name.